huge revelation from the researchers at Boston University School of Medicine yesterday. The report is that they've made a discovery that may lead to the diagnosis of the disease CTE in living football players. Up to this point, the only way you could diagnose it was once someone expired.
Postmortem, yep.
Yeah, and as I explained at the end of the last hour, you have been just so attentive to this situation. You've met with folks in the military about head trauma and PTSD mm-hmm. and things of that nature. You've already decided to donate your brain to Boston University School of Medicine, and you've studied this so intently and intensely that this is perfect. I was happy, one, to hear that they may have found a way to diagnose this in living folks, but also the fact that you're sitting here next to me and you could speak at length about this entire situation. So what was your takeaway from the revelations yesterday?
Well, Boston University, not to be confused with Boston College, mm-hmm. the Boston University, Dr. Chris Nowinski, who's the guy I met that is involved with this study since the start, since back in the Benjamin Olamalu days, he of the concussion movie and all that mm-hmm. stuff, he kind of went on to be a media star. And Chris and Dr. Ann McKee and a lot of the other people there at Boston U have been right there with all these donated brains and everything else and studying. And they're trying to get down to the basic why of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And what they think they have identified is the biomarker that identifies CTE. And why is that important? Well, before you can get a cure, before you can diagnose a cause, before you can do all those other things, you've got to find out and figure out what the biomarker is and what identifies CTE as CTE. So that's what they think they've identified. And if you want to say, well, so what, or what's that really mean, think back to the old days. Think back to, everyone remembers when AIDS, HIV, and all that first came out of the scene. Mm-hmm. They didn't know, A, what caused it, B, where it came from, blah, blah, blah. And it started with identifying the biomarker. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's something they can do. Now, Aaron Taylor was funny because he goes, I have kind of mixed feelings about whether or not I want him to identify it, because then it can be, do I take that test?
Right.
Do I want to know?
Right.
And that's true.
Yeah.
It will put this story of Aaron Hernandez back on the front pages, hopefully. He was identified with stage 3 CTE
yeah.
at his age. Young guy, 30s. Early 30s, I yeah. believe.
Oh, Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah.
No, 27, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he had stage 3 already.
Right.
So you're going to look at that, and the biomarkers, it's CCL2 is what they've designated it as. And if you can figure that out, you can figure out right. what's coming next. It's a tau protein that usually clumps together. And the best way to think about it is you've seen salt or calcium deposits.
Yes.
You know, like in your knee or something. They take them out. They flush them out.
Right.
That's what is in your
brain. Or gout.
Yeah. That's
when it crystallizes.
Yeah. That's what's in your brain in the case of CTE. And it affects and kills basically sections of your brain. If you've gone through the concussion protocol for the mm-hmm. lawsuit, they've done an MRI on your brain. And if you've seen that MRI, if you have spots in your brain that are dull and null and void or dark, that's sort of an indication there's a dead area there, and there's a chance that you could have that. It's not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you have the biomarker, you'll be able to test and say, yes, that's what that is. That's the early stages. Now, will that help you at that point? Not till they figure out how the hell to stop it.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully this is something that's right around the bend. The problem with this, seriously, BJ, is the fact that Boston University is doing great work on this. The Department of Defense is doing great work mm-hmm. on this. There are literally maybe 20 leaders around the country that are doing great work on this. But there's no one centralized place.
Gotcha.
Which really there should be. And we can talk at a later date. I'm involved in a center that wants to, or a group that wants to be that place. And they want to be the place where all that knowledge, all that testing, everything kind of funnels to the same spot.
What's getting in the way? Is it egos? Is it money? What is keeping these groups from?
Yes.
Yes, you know, to all those, right. Yeah.
You know what? It's no different than daycare.
Yeah.
Even at that age, even at advanced ages, many people don't play well with others.
Right. Right.
Don't share credit with others.
Yeah.
Don't share the information well with others. That's the nature of not only journalism, but it's also the nature of science.
Right.
Everyone wants to be first.
Well,
and
be
if
first.
You share,
yeah.
you're not going to be first.
Yeah. There you go.
But if we can do that, if we can get a centralized location, that's something. It's away from this subject, but if you can get a centralized location, I think you can come to the crux of the problem. Because in the Department of Defense, in our armed forces, there is a huge problem with this
mm-hmm.
that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
Not only the blunt force of explosion things that have come out and caused PTSD and CTE and all that in our military, things you never really even think about. Imagine you're a Navy pilot and you're landing on an aircraft carrier. You know what all that deacceleration does to your brain?
A lot of G-forces there just landing.
Literally, your brain is like squeezed into the front of your head as you land. So they've come to find out that there's some very similar things to that experience, to concussions, to everything else that happens. And there's got to be somewhere where you can do that centralized.
Right. Researchers from BU and the VA Boston Healthcare System, speaking of our armed forces, studied the brains of 23 former football players who were diagnosed with CTE, in addition to the brains of 50 non-athletes who suffered from Alzheimer's disease, plus 18 non-athlete control brains. And their findings were published just yesterday. And you mentioned the elevated levels of that protein, CCL, two, which is related to inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is phenomenal news. Of course, it's just at the beginning stages, but if they can start diagnosing this while we're still here and alive, that is just so promising.
Wow.
And then,
well,
of course,
how great would it be on the sideline to be able to, you see a guy get drilled?
Yeah.
You know, pick a game last weekend that you saw a young man take a severe blow.
Yeah.
How about kind of like you test blood sugar for diabetes? You could have a finger prick test blood sugar, or a blood test on the sideline to identify something that will tell you there's swelling, there's bleeding on the brain.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah, once we get a hold on this, of course, being able to measure the levels of that protein, and yeah, the sky's the limit, you would think, just like your example you used. I thought it was a perfect example, too. Biomarkers for AIDS, HIV.
Yeah.
Figured that out. Now people are living with it. Magic Johnson is comes to mind, of course, and there are many others who have prolonged their lives because we were able to diagnose it at the very basis.
You haven't cured it.
But
you can keep it at arm's length.
Right.
For a nearly indefinite period of time.
Right.
So, and I've got a good friend that I played with, Dwight Clark, is suffering with ALS, early onset. I mean, we're talking about really bad onset ALS, one of the most wonderful people I know. And that's another one of these diseases that's of the mind, of the brain, that's related. This is all tied in together.
Dementia, ALS. CTE, all of that, they're all commingling, if you will. Well, that's phenomenal, and I know you're going to continue to do what you've been doing and meeting with the Department of Defense and the folks up at BU as well. So even though you're not here on a permanent basis, definitely keep us on what's going in this area. So that is just phenomenal information. And the other questions now, and you mentioned Aaron, and we were having this conversation yesterday when the news broke, that there are going to be us that are afraid to partake in these studies. I went through the concussion protocols and the baseline testing and all that and was frightened as hell going in there once I decided I was going to take that next step. And I know you've donated your you're going to donate your brain.
Right.
How much, how excruciating was it for you to make that decision?
Not really. First of all, not to be a complete smart ass, but I mean, they don't get it till I'm done with it.
Right.
So there's not too much to worry about. It's like, excuse me, we need it now.
Right.
But I think it's kind of the least you can do.
Right, but the fact that now they may be able to determine while you're still using it, while you still need it.
Yeah.
Now, would that change your deliberation as to whether or not you want to do it? Would it be a little bit more harrowing?
I'll give you an analogy. Lung cancer. They haven't, let's call this lung cancer. If they identify the biomarker that actually causes and leads to lung cancer, does that mean they've cured lung cancer?
No.
You won't get any? No one will get it anymore? Right. So there's cause, effect. There's all these different layers to it. So it's going to be a significant period of time. I'd like to think I will live indefinitely, like all of us. At times act and think like it, that I will. But in reality, I won't. So, yeah, you know, eventually they'll get that thing to cut through and study. I know those tests, doctor I went to told me, he goes, I can't tell that you played football for an extended period of time. He goes, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I said, well, all right.
Cool. That is a good thing. That's great. And considering you have shared this when you made your announcement, all the concussions and the blackouts you experienced and things of that nature. So I think, of course, everyone.
I'm just naturally bent.
Yeah, it's naturally it's messed
up. It's organic.
Everyone anatomically speaking is different, right? And you are definitely different. So great work they're doing there in Boston. And I am so thankful that they are doing it. Now, the other question begs, you know, if we have these tests on the sideline, we can immediately diagnose a player, taking your example.
Yeah.
Do you say, okay, that's it? You've already had players that have called it quits. Chris Borland, after your 49ers, former Wisconsin linebacker, said, I'm done with it. There have been others, the young man, the offensive lineman, the mathematician, the genius there with the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
He shut it down. And now you may have, hopefully, and I know I'm getting way down the road, but this information that we received yesterday is so promising, seems so promising. But
it'll keep squeezing football. Yeah. NFL is going to hate it.
Yeah.
College football has done so much better job of sort of dealing with the idea and being proactive about it, and not only in the studies and everything else. The NFL wants to pretend it doesn't exist still. Well, you know, it really does, and it really has. It's going to affect the amount of youth football. You're going to have a lot of flag football. Great time to be teaching fundamentals, but you're not going to have people crushing each other until maybe you're 14, 15 years old. You know, does that mean you don't play contact football? Well, too bad. Play basketball. Play baseball. Do something else. It will affect football on that level. And the bottom line for the NFL, you know, maybe the NFL at someday becomes kind of like MMA, kind of like pro boxing, where only a certain profile of athlete of any background does it.
Right.
So sometimes because they have to, sometimes because they love it. But the bottom line is you're going to know going in exactly what you can make an informed decision.
Right.
We never made an informed decision because no one ever told us this was possible.
Exactly. And throw hockey into the mix as well.
Exactly.
Another collision sport.
Yeah. A lot of kids quitting soccer, especially girls' soccer. Girls, for some reason, are more prone to concussion by headshots.
And also throw in racing, NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know, the head trauma that you can experience there from the violent wrecks that...
The deacceleration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, for sure. All right, great stuff from Boston University, everyone up there. And Randy, thanks for illuminating what the findings that they announced yesterday. And hopefully it can continue to get to the bottom of this CTE situation that is first and foremost on a lot of former players' minds as we sit here today. That was some sobering news, and also, how about some fun? Can we have some fun on this damn show? We haven't had fun in a long, long time.
Fun.
Let's have some fun. Our buddy PDB, a big-time wrestler, or a wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us gave it up at a very young age. PDB, he's hanging on to it. And as others are, because it's still a huge business. And one of my favorites from back in the day, speaking of revelations, man. Okay. Now, he's not on that Wilt Chamberlain level, but he's close.
Pretty damn – he's in the same zip code.
He's in the same
if his numbers
code.
Are correct.
We'll tell you what we're talking about on the other side.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Gio is not in. Randy Cross is in. And Brad Heller's back.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Kind of like that rash. You just keep coming back, don't you?
Can't get rid of me.
Maybe that's what Bogus has. Maybe that's a rash. Is that what it is? He didn't want to get us all infected? It's contagious?
He's got Bogus, man. House problems, sick. Who knows?
Could be anything. Who knows? You get sick in radio, man. Can't get sick. Did you ever play sick, Randy? Numerous times?
Play sick?
Yeah.
Not usually when I was sick, I was sick. I didn't have to actually. I love people that know all the great ways to call in sick. What they talk about. What you got to do is you lay on your bed with your head over the edge of the bed and looking backwards, and then get on the phone because you'll sound really congested.
Is
really?
That right?
Seriously? You put way too much thought into
this. There's a method to this, huh? Wow.
So invert yourself for 5 minutes. Hold your breath.
That's right. Wow. Okay. Have to write that one down, too. Mm-hmm. No, won't be needing that one. Brad Heller, give me an update, dog.
All right, gentlemen. Rick Pitino calls the allegations a complete shock. His Louisville program part of the FBI investigation into corruption in college basketball. Miami also mentioned in court documents, although not by name. Both schools sponsored by Adidas, the head of sports marketing there, allegedly paid players and their families to go to these schools and then eventually sign with Adidas. Four prominent assistant coaches, including Chuck Person at Auburn, were also arrested. They're accused of accepting bribes to steer players to specific agents.
Come on, man. The Rifleman. Come on. Dang. Chuck Person.
Anyway. Guarding that money.
Yeah.
Need a rifle for that.
Yeah.
And this is just the beginning of this story. We'll see how it develops for sure, especially at Louisville with Pitino and what's going on, what's already gone on with the Cardinals program there. All right, update in the baseball playoff races. The Red Sox lead in the AL East. It continues to shrink.
And it's the first pitch he sees this time up in the air to right center field. Chris Young's going back. He looks up, and it's gone. Over the Red Sox bullpen. Josh Donaldson has homered again, number 33 of the season, his second tonight.
Joe Siddle on the Blue Jays radio network, both home runs off Chris Sale. He gave up four home runs. Red Sox lost to the Blue Jays 9-4 at Fenway. Boston's lead down to three games on the Yankees, who beat the Rays in New York 6-1. The Yankees did lock up home field in the wild card game. The Twins' magic number for the last wild card spot, well, that is down to one.
And Shaw's 0-1 pitch, a swing and a fly ball into right center field. Back goes Bruce. Back at the wall. It is gone. A home run. Brian Dozier goes the opposite way. An eighth inning go-ahead three-run homer. And with one swing of the bat, the Twins have the lead.
Corey Provis on the Twins Radio Network. Twins win their fifth in a row, 8-6 over the Indians. In the National League, the Cubs, their magic number to clinch the Central, still at one. They lost to the Cardinals in St. Louis, 8-7. The Brewers beat the Reds at home, 7-6. Milwaukee still a game and a half behind Colorado for the final playoff spot. The Rockies blank the Marlins, 6-0. The Dodgers locked up home field in the NL playoffs. They beat the Padres 9-2. The Packers are asking fans to join them tomorrow night at Lambeau in linking arms during the national anthem. Packers and Bears will kick off week 4. According to the Wall Street Journal, DirecTV is offering refunds for fans who want to cancel their NFL Sunday ticket package because of the anthem protests. And Dwayne Wade is expected to clear waivers today. He'll reportedly sign a 1-year, $2 million deal with the Cavaliers. Guys?
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, that's interesting, that DirecTV deal. And they're saying, okay, if you want a refund, we'll give you a refund. And I'm sure some people will take them up on that, and others will not. We need our football. We love our football. And I just don't like marginalizing players. And this is not messing with the action actually on the field, what these guys are doing prior to kickoff. But to each his own, and we'll see how many decide to take DirecTV up on their offering. That thing package keeps going up, man. That
constantly.
I was looking at my bill.
Yeah.
Like, whoo.
I don't have it anymore.
Really?
I've got Red Zone.
Yeah.
I'm with AT&T.
Yeah.
So you get Red Zone as standard. And it turns out
Well, AT&T is DirecTV now.
Yeah, they own it.
Right.
But that was the whole appeal of DirecTV back in the day. You could get the package.
Right.
You could do the same thing on AT&T. But the great thing about this deal is I found myself watching individual games. I'd tape individual games. That
yes.
was I did NFL for 20 years for
right.
CBS.
Right.
I'd tape the games or DVR the games, but I'd watch Red Zone.
Yeah.
So I sat back after a while and I went, well, okay, I can do that. But that's all I watch anyway. Because it's it's ADD football.
Right, it is, definitely. You're like you're in a tennis match, you're going back and forth.
It's perfect. Yeah. If you're a fantasy fan or if you're a modern fan of football, it's perfect.
I'll watch the mix. They'll have, I think it's 7:01 and 7:02, and of course it condenses as the games conclude. But I just watch the mix, and I have 6 or 7, 8 games right there. And luckily for me, I got a big enough television where even though you're watching the mix, it's still a pretty good picture with all those games up on the screen. So I watch that more than I do the Red Zone, and it works for me. So that's cool. It's time to answer our question, our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is, will Rick Pitino be the head coach of Louisville by the end of the week? That comes from Josh in Sacramento. Don't forget you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com, ask the pros, or tweet that question to us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, it's easy, and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Great question. I think we're not the only ones wondering what will happen there at Louisville.
Oh,
I'm going to say by the end of the week, it's Wednesday. Yes, by the end of the week, yes.
Week's over. We call that Saturday or Sunday the start of the week?
Sunday's the start of the week for me.
Okay. So, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he'll make it through the weekend.
To Sunday?
Yeah.
Saturday? Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Maybe not
now,
so much. No.
I'd give some better odds about the month.
I know. <Right? laughs>
I know the end of the month is what, next Wednesday? Something like that?
Yeah.
I believe.
Is it next? What's today? 26?
So give that a chance to.
27.
A little more sunlight. A little more shining on that. A little more investigation starts coming out. We'll see.
A little more squealing.
Hey. Gonna be some serious snitches.
Big time. Big time. You know that's for sure. Speaking of snitching on yourself or a proud snitch.
Yeah.
Ric Flair.
Now, I can't help it that I'm custom made. I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long.
That's the beginning of one of my favorite songs currently, Cameron's D.I.A. Done It All, and he starts it all with Ric Flair there. He was one of the best ever in the business. He, Dusty Rhodes.
He's a blonde-haired train wreck.
And The Rock, those have to be your top three, wouldn't you say? In selling
wrestling's got a whole bunch of those guys.
Yeah. Macho Man is in there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some.
Yeah,
some,
go down the list, especially in the last 20 years.
There were some great ones.
It's blown up as far as the attention to it. So, yeah, I did a little math on this.
You did a little math because Ric Flair.
Go ahead and see.
Ric Flair has said he estimates that he slept with more than 10,000 women. Now, okay. Will Chamberlain, I think he put the number at 20,000, didn't he?
25,000.
25,000.
Yeah.
Wilt said at least 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Nature Boy says at least 10,000. So you did some math.
Rick's like 65, I believe.
Right.
So on the math chart,
okay.
You're talking about 10,000.
10,000.
Let's say he started at 15 years old.
Okay.
All right?
All right. 15.
15 divided by per year.
Whoa!
Separate sex partners.
Wow.
200 a year at 10,000.
Yeah.
So the Wilt numbers, then you've got to figure. You're talking about one and a half to one and three quarters per day.
Yeah. Now, there's some off years, of course. You would imagine, you know, if you started at 15, let's say 15.
And 15 may be too late.
Well, no, I'm just saying that from 15, let's say you started at 15, from 15 to 21, come on.
Yeah,
but there's no way, because you don't have the notoriety and the fame at that point.
And now he might be a little tired because he was in ICU for about a week and a half. He almost died here recently.
Right, yeah.
So if you do if you do nothing for that 2 week period, you got some makeup to do once you get out on the other side.
Yeah.
So maybe that brought it back front of mind.
Now there had to have been some robust years in there because you would think some up years, some down years. Dare I use that?
Yeah, you dare
metaphor.
Yeah.
And there was some,
but that puts it in perspective. 200 a year.
Yeah.
And you figure they travel in that business. I got to know Terry Funk.
Yeah, the old wrestler, Terry really Dory well. Funk.
Yeah,
yeah, Terry, man.
They live in Canyon, Texas.
Right.
Real good friends with a great friend of mine, great buddy.
Terry and Dory Funk Jr.
John Ayers, who went to West Texas State.
Yep. We used to play at Canyon High School in their stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, those guys, a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole era, but they travel easy over 300 days a year. Easy.
Yep. Spinning Toho, the Funk Brothers, what they
so
put on you.
At 200 a year, that tells you what you got to be doing. Not only you're getting busy in the ring, you're getting busy everywhere else.
That's amazing. 10,000. Wow. Yeah, it's a traveling circus, is essentially what
styling
it is.
Styling and profile.
That's it. And I'm sure he had a lot of suitors, but 10,000.
And glad to see his health's getting better.
Yeah, great.
Can't say much for his memory.
Hey, he may have been off a little bit. He may have been north of that number. That's just amazing. What a trip. What a salesman, though. That guy was phenomenal for wrestling. He sell ice to Eskimo.
There was a guy back in the day named Freddie Blassie. You remember him?
Yes.
He was kind of Flair before Flair.
Yeah. I remember him, and we just lost Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just... past. So, man, back when I was watching and really into it, you know, like I said, Dusty Rhodes was my guy. Yeah. Tower Power, too still, sweet to
glad,
be so.
Glad they're all still, a lot of them are still around.
Yeah.
Because one thing it seems like we don't see a whole lot are old wrestlers.
That is true. You don't. Now, the Funk Brothers, they're still with us, right?
Yeah, they are.
Terry and Dory Funk Jr. Whew, going back, reminiscing. Good stuff there. Let's look forward a little bit. We're going to have our buddy Rick Neuheisel join us. Of course, he's college football
singing.
Analyst.
He's not singing.
Not singing. No singing. Okay, no singing.
More importantly, you're not planning on singing.
No. He forces me to do it, and I think because it makes him look even better, even though he doesn't need to look better or sound better than me. And we may have to tee up our little diss track for him when we bring him on here. But, yeah.
There's one guy in the stadium not having so much fun.
That's it.
The DC?
That's the DC. I'm the DC. Everybody wants to be me. DC. Everybody wants to be me. That is some bad singing. Wow. Okay, Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports College Football Analyst. He's going to join us next. CBS Sports
this
Radio.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Rick. Yo, Rick. I'm sick of the shtick. Put away the guitar before I go shoot ya. Listen up, Neuheisel. This is about survival. You know where I'm from. Check my ancestry.com. Ivory Coast, Nigeria. Enough to put the fear in ya. I ain't playing, Rick. You should be shooker than zucker. Where you at, dog? I don't hear a murmur. Too soon, my bad. I'm just that mad. I balushi that thing like an animal house. Boom! What's up, man?
Oh.
Once again, your vocal performance just lighting up everybody's morning.
Oh, stop lying, man. Hey, Randy's sitting in with me for the second day this week.
Two icons in the same studio. Who knew there was enough room?
We have two and a half Bruins.
That's right.
I don't know if you guys want to claim them these days where they've been getting whipped up on. Talk first about your alma mater. That was a hard one to watch and swallow last week versus Stanford.
Well, Jim Moore. Those on the East Coast didn't stay up on
that. No kidding.
But for whatever reason, they just haven't put two sides of the ball together. Other than the second half against A&M, where they kind of blew everybody's mind coming back from 44-10. But run defense gave way. Bryce Love, who had been sensational and quietly is having kind of a Saquon Barkley kind of year. Unfortunately for Bryce Love, he's just not on a team that's quite as hot as Penn State right now. But really, everybody said, how are you going to replace Christian McCaffrey? Where Bryce Love says, watch. And he's having a whale of a season.
Hey, Rick, you know, you look at what's going on right now in the SEC and putting the Alabama, basically, annihilation of Vanderbilt aside, what are your thoughts on the rest of the SEC and how it's starting to kind of settle out and how much should Georgia fans really buy into what their team's doing?
Well, you know, Steve Spurrier and I were talking about this yesterday, and the problem with the SEC and the problem with a lot of college football, and I don't know that it's a problem or one of the great traits that we have, is the expectations at probably seven of the SEC 14 schools are that if we're not a top 10 or top 5 team, we need to fire our coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's only one school in the SEC that's going to be a top 5 team annually, and that's Nick Saban, and the process and their recruiting is off the charts, and obviously they've been in that role for some time. But think of the other six, and I'm talking about LSU. I'm talking about Texas A&M. I'm talking about Tennessee. I'm talking about Georgia. I'm talking about Florida. You know, these schools, all and Auburn's in there as well. These schools all, if they're not a top five to top 10 team, they want somebody's head. And right now, Kevin Sumlin and Butch Jones are feeling that heat. You know, there were people talking about Jim McElwain. Is he the right guy? Because Florida's offense has been sputtering. But he's won two SEC East titles, and he's won 9 of 10 games decided by a touchdown or less. I mean, to me, it's good college football, if not great college football. But expectations are out of whack. And the problem is they also spend all the money in the world, so it's not as though these guys can claim they don't have the resources to finance these expectations. I just think the expectations are just too high.
Do you see a reversing course and people come back down to earth and realize, hey, that's not our reality year in and year out? There may be a year where we grab the thing by the tail and we're the big kahuna, but that's not going to be each and every season.
Well, and let's use Tennessee as the case study here, Brian, because you were a Tennessee fan a year ago. You had them in your Final Four because everything lined up with all the seniors coming back and so forth. And gosh darn, did they entertain us for the first half of the season. But attrition hits, too many guys go down, and with that, so did to their fortunes. And next thing you know, Butch Jones is on the hot seat in a year where he's lost his starting quarterback. He's lost a great number of guys on the defensive side, including his best pass rusher in Derek Barnett. You are in harm's way. You are in absolute harm's way, and that's why this is kind of a Butch's last stand as we air the Tennessee-Georgia game this week in Knoxville. I mean, Butch Jones is embattled right now. So it's just kind of the nature of the beast right now. But it's if you want to have a long career, don't get into college coaching.
one of the highly anticipated decisions that Kirby Smart has kicked down the road a little bit is that quarterback decision he's going to have with Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason. You know, you've been involved with quite a few high-quality quarterbacks in your time as a coach. How is this usually resolved? I mean, is this something that he gets healthy and the kid keeps playing well, the kid being Jake Fromm in this case?
Right.
You don't have much of a choice but to sort of stay with the hot hand, do you?
This is one of those deals that from outside looking in doesn't look fair. You know, Jacob Eason was the starting quarterback. He gets tweaked. Brian hated the play, guy hitting him out of bounds, and he's lost for a bit of time. And here comes Jake Fromm, and Jake Fromm, as you just said, Randy, is playing tremendously. But what we don't know from our vantage point is how those kids are in the locker room. And my guess is, and the reason we heard so much about Jake Fromm over the course of last spring into the fall is he's one of those locker room guys. He's a guy that can clap in the huddle and everybody pays attention, and it's never too big for him. I think it was obvious to all of us when he got into the game, even against App State, he wasn't nervous. He couldn't wait to play. On the big stage at Notre Dame, he did the same thing. Now, Jim Chaney has been kind of nursing him, but this last game against Mississippi State, I thought that was Jim Chaney's best game as the coordinator at Georgia. He looked like he had all the tools. His receivers were getting down the field. They had explosives. They had Chubb back to full speed. I think this is a really good-looking Georgia team right now, and if that be the case, you're not going to mess with the quarterback position.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Felipe Franks benched last week in that Kentucky-Florida ball game. Luke Del Rio comes in, throws the winning score, and now he's the starter. Does Jim McElwain and my man Doug Nussmeier, do they just need to settle on one quarterback, or is this back and forth? Does it work for them?
Well, to me, Brian, I thought, you know, to go get Malik Zaire, maybe they were saying, you know, everybody else has got a dual-threat quarterback. Why don't we get one? Why don't we get a guy that we can put some offense in there with some zone read, get some option stuff going, get an extra number in the box, and have our way with the math of offensive football. But they're stubborn. They don't want to do that. They want to play their West Coast offense, and certainly they've been successful with it. As we just pointed out, McElwain's won a bunch of close games. And if you're going to be in a West Coast offense, then you ought to go with the guy who's the coach on the field, and that's Luke Del Rio. He's, you know, his dad's the coach of the Raiders. He's savvy. He's been around film and his whole life. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's a team guy. You saw him waving his towel even when he wasn't in the game when they beat Tennessee in Gainesville. I think this is a good move. If you're going to stick with that offense, this is the guy that probably can get you more first downs than any of the other guys. He may not have the big play wow factor, but he's going to be able to, what's the old saying about quarterbacks, manage games really, really well.
Thought they hated that.
I know. I go back to my career. I was a great manager.
Hey, are we in that time of the year, Rick, where we've got to see impressive performances to keep teams up towards the top? You know, and I particularly think of teams like Clemson and Oklahoma and teams like that, that it seems opinions change kind of like wind direction, depending on effort is on the field.
People always want have a flair for the dramatic. We want the dramatic. But to me, I think Alabama and Clemson have kind of, if not in pen, then certainly dark pencil, put themselves in the Final Four. I mean, their defenses have shown to be so impressive that they're never going to be out of a game. And their offenses, with their dual-threat quarterbacks, have enough sizzle to make it work. And so, yeah, they might stumble, but I think we're always going to kind of gravitate towards them because we've seen them the last 2 years be so dang impressive, and they haven't blown it in the playoffs. All those things that kind of haunt our memories, I think those two teams are in. So now it comes down to, yes, you got to impress us, but also just keep looking at schedules. And I think Washington in the Pac-12 and Wisconsin in the Big Ten have schedules that if they can get to their championship games, which I think are their big favorites to do so, I think both have great chances to get to the Final Four. Because on the other side of the Big Ten, while everybody's enamored with Penn State, they looked at least vulnerable this last week. And SC has certainly looked vulnerable on the other side of the Pac-12. And then you've got a big-time group of teams going to fight it out in that Big 12. And now Oklahoma's sitting, why do we get the playoff game this year? Because they already have a win over Ohio State team on the road. So I just think Wisconsin and Washington are going to be kind of in the weeds, wouldn't surprise me at all that they make it.
What about TCU? How impressive was that victory on the road versus a ranked Oklahoma State team?
Gary Patterson has added one more weapon to his quiver, which is time of possession. I mean, against both Arkansas and Oklahoma State, he was able to play keep away.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonny Cumbie's ability to kind of manage Kenny Hill and keep the interceptions down and get him to be the efficient player that they all want him to be, along with your guy, Darius Anderson, right, that running back at TCU, I think all that fits well into TCU having great chances. The only problem is, again, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Kansas State, they're all still looming, and to see them get through all that without a blemish would be is, for me, a little bit difficult to imagine.
You could have thrown Texas in there, too, man. Come on.
I could have.
I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you to throw a ball.
Could have thrown them in there. I mean, heck. Hey, by the way, good luck with Friday night, seeing as you're on Fantasy Island all by yourself on that SC pick.
Yeah, exactly. SC and Washington State, and you guys all jumped on the Wizard of the Palouse, you know, the Palouse, Leach, who has never answered a question about football in his life. He goes into Lentil. He goes into Geronimo. He goes into pirate ships, but he doesn't want to talk X's and O's. But the bottom line is, I believe SC has the wherewithal to handle that game, and then I think they have the wherewithal to get themselves into position for big prizes.
All right, we'll see, because our man Sam Darnold continues to throw interceptions, 7 on the season, and they haven't been able to run the rock the last two
so
ball
far,
games.
So far, no Luke Falk.
Yeah, in the manner in which they did the first.
3.5 yards per carry in the last two games. That's not very good, you don't think?
They haven't been able to. 71 versus Texas. 71 yards running. That was
it. 1.9 per carry.
Yeah, that was
it. Are you guys going to be a thing now in the morning?
No, this is it. This is all we can take. This
Wait a minute, I had a song for you.
Oh, hell no, bye Rick.
I had a song for you, hang on.
You better hurry up, we got 20 seconds.
It's mornings with Brian and Randy. They're loaded with savvy and wit. Enjoy mornings with Brian and Randy. But wear boots because they're full of...
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
nice.
You.
That's all I got for you, man.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Neuheisel, CBS right, Sports College Football Analyst. Randy, thanks, man, so much
Thank
for
you.
These last 2 days.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate you. Get back down to Atlanta safe.
I hope PDB. I hope Gio's beard grows back fast.
PDB, Mikey B, Jack Alone, Billy Jack Alone, and all you listen. Appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.